but don't wait too long.
All good. I still gotta think of my name for this too. I was like, let's do something with K, Khadija, something like that. I could just throw it in there, but I don't think it's what I want to go with. But okay.
Khadija, okay, that's real serious.
That's a real blasphemous. Right, right. And like way more brown than I am, so I don't know why I'm going from one direction.
So that's interesting. So you want to change your name for the podcast? Is this right?
It was throwing some ideas around. I was like, maybe I should be Khadija for the podcast. But no, I instantly regret that.
Okay, so I want to ask you a question, put you on the spot.
Oh, shit.
Do you want to change your name to Khadija, sure, because of what the podcast is about, or just because you want to have a podcast name?
No, girl. It's definitely because I honestly think, like, my parents are going to get that, like, Muslim parent, like, radar and be like, our daughter's doing something haram, and then they're gonna find this podcast okay. And be like, there she is, you attached your family name to this blasphemous content.
Oh man, okay, so you're having anxiety
extra
about
girl
it.
I know, right? And it's so funny because I remember a month ago when we were doing it, I was like, yeah, this is my name, this is my job,
this is my sister. You were talking about your sister's name and everything.
So yeah,
kind of goes against but it's kind of ironic, right?
Yeah.
Because we're trying to create this.
Yes.
So it is a platform that is free.
Hypocrisy.
But that is so interesting. I love it, though.
I don't. We're gonna
I love it because it's so funny, but it's so real. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so real, which is what is why I love it. Because while you're here, you know, doing this, ready to do. We've been talking about this
forever.
Yeah. And here you are. And now when it's the day that we're just going to shoot the shit, we're going to record, the nerves
are kicked
in. Oh,
when it's on the line, I'm like, oh my god, this, I don't know.
Okay, so let's tell our listeners, what is this podcast about?
Okay, what is it about? I saw it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's an outlet for us as brown girls who've grown up in, like, an Eastern culture but are now living in Western culture to talk about things that are maybe that were restricted when we were growing up, or things like we couldn't even talk about because it was considered forbidden or dishonorable or just not okay, mostly to do with dating and sex and, like, the female experience.
Right. Okay. So I'll introduce myself real quick, and I'll let you think about this if you want to introduce yourself. My name is Sunelli, and I am born and raised in Nigeria, but I come from an Indian background. So definitely have a lot of Indian instilled in me.
Fuck it, I'm gonna say my name.
Okay. All right, I love it.
Okay. So my name is Karam, and I'm Arab. But I've got the interesting kind of background mix, similar to you in the way that I'm grew up in several places. So I'm Palestinian, but was born and raised in Saudi Arabia, but then grew up in Bahrain and then Jordan and then came here. So it was here as in Canada. So it was, although it was like a Middle Eastern upbringing, it was a very mixed Middle Eastern upbringing, from like the most conservative to like mid-conservatism, and then now it's like the free world. So
is it the free world because you are in Canada, or is it the free world because now you don't live with your parents?
Both, but yeah, no, mostly Canada, because even if I was living in Jordan on my own, I'd still be in the more modern way of Arab conservative living. Don't get me wrong, I have a lot of friends there who are like out dating and all the stuff, but you know, it's just not the same level of freedom as you would be in Canada with all your other, you know, Canadian ways and weed and stuff. So
that's so true, because I don't think I would have experienced life, you know, love, sex, friendships with boys, and just friendships with boys as well, in Canada.
Crop tops, Lululemon.
Speaking of tops, I remember in university I wore a top where it was so low cut, and it was so low cut according to my Indian Nigerian culture.
Course.
And I posted it on Facebook, which was, you know, Facebook was a thing that time.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister blew up on me. She
mm-hmm.
was like, what are you wearing? If, you know, if mom and dad saw that, like, that is so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I remember going, and according to my girlfriends, I'm like, hey, girl, you look good. You know, so it's so funny that you say that, because it's true.
Big time.
I would not dress like that back home.
I remember in Saudi, so we were in this, like, American compound, so it was very much like a lot of Westerners living there in the compound. And so it felt like you were growing up in the West, but obviously you're still, like, Muslim parents and Arabs are still there. So I remember every time we'd have school dances, all the Muslim girls would wear, like, something like really risque under their sweaters, like tank tops, but then go to the school dance in sweaters so that their parents would think that's what they're wearing. But then the parents are cluing in to the fact that we were like hiding our real outfits under our sweaters, so they'd make us like lift the sweater to see if we were
wearing
anything under.
Oh my god, wow.
I know. So from like a young age, we learn to camouflage and to like hide things. So you just made me think about that.
That's amazing. So I guess we're trying to use this platform to basically share our experiences, because I'm 33 years old, and
oh my god, I'm 29.
Amazing. And I think I still struggle in some aspects with sex or the idea of what sex should be, because of how it has been instilled in my head.
Yeah,
you know.
Me too. 100%.
And so there's that versus now what society. And especially in a place like Canada, where everyone's so open and sex is not that big a deal. If you're not having sex, that's a big deal, you know? So it's like, now I'm trying to live this married life with the partner, and sometimes I feel like I try to do a check mark, like, did I have sex enough times in a week? Check. If I did, according to what I've been taught, oh no, I'm failing as a wife, but not more so failing, but my mom used to almost not tell us to use it like a tool, but it would be like, if you didn't have sex, if you don't provide sex for your husband, then he's gonna go out and look for it somewhere else.
Like, that justifies it,
right? But when we were young, sex was bad.
Yeah.
It was not, sex was good, and you know, in the right time you can enjoy it. It was just like,
no,
don't have
your
sex.
Duty once you are in this acceptable state of womanhood and marriage and all this stuff. What annoys me is that we don't have any agency in this idea of what's acceptable or not. It's either, you know, you come from an extreme where you're never allowed to date or interact with the opposite sex or anything, and then the second you're of an acceptable age, it's like, great, you are going to get married and have kids and whatever. And I'm like, there's no natural in between. And I'm like, what? Are we all robots that we're all like, that this is all like a normal thing in our culture? Because I don't find it realistic at all. How am I gonna spend the rest of my life with a boy if I can't even like
right.
kiss a boy or like, you know, anything else than that? Like, I'm getting triggered even being like, ew, I'm thinking naked with a guy, you know?
Right,
it's just
right.
weird. So yeah, it just pisses me off, the complete lack of agency that we
right.
have.
Right. And I guess, you know, it's interesting because I watched a YouTube video about, I think it was Indian grandparents talking about sex these days. And one of them said, we learn naturally, so our kids will learn naturally, and so will our grandkids.
Can
so,
I have these grandparents as mine? Grandparents?
But
amazing.
They said they wouldn't talk about it. So the question was, would you talk about
oh.
it with your kids or your grandkids? And they were like, nope. Because
no,
we
like
learned
that.
It just like that. So just like that, which meant naturally. So which means our kids and our grandkids would learn it, you know, quote unquote, just like that. And I was just like, I guess if I listen to it now, I think, oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now I'm 33. But when I was a lot younger, I wish I learned a little bit more.
100%. No, I think that's damaging because it's like, it's just like saying, I don't know, it's just like saying, you know, racism was acceptable a long time ago. So it's like, we progress as a society, so I wouldn't want to keep repeating the same notions or like the same things we were taught there, especially when it's like, don't talk about this thing.
Right.
Because it's so forbidden, because the less you talk about it, the more like scandalous it is and the more foreign it is, when in fact it's like perfectly normal. And actually, you see studies of these like Scandinavian countries that have like the least amount of teen pregnancies, and it's because they have sex education at such a young age, and it's because everyone is so knowledgeable of it and it's openly talked about and it's not something that is like dishonorable or a character judgment. And I'm like, then you look at in contrast in like the Middle East, where like, I don't want to stigmatize the Middle East because it's like it happens in a lot of cultures where even in the US, you know, in the South where there's not much sex ed, there's like a lot of teen pregnancies. And it's like nobody talks about it. And everyone connects it to morals and religion and upbringing, when in fact it's like actually a completely natural, normal process in your life. And I'm just getting like almost out of breath at how angsty I am about this.
Okay. That's okay.
It was so annoying.
So I have a question for you. And I'm going to say Middle East because that's your experience, not targeting the Middle East. How are you talked about? Like, how did your mom introduce you to sex?
Oh my God. I don't think she ever did. I think it was just like, when you get married, you and your husband will make children. It was never, I don't think we ever talked about the act itself. Even when you had your period, it was like, oh, here are some pads, and this happens once a month. It's like a normal process. It's a completely natural medical thing that happens in your body. Like, it's all very clinical and like matter of fact, but there's never a discussion on how do you feel? What does this mean? You becoming a woman, anything like that. The only thing I realized is once I had my period, that's when my mom like took it as, oh, this is the time she needs to wear a headscarf when she leaves the compound in Saudi because she's now a woman. But that's it.
But isn't that, wouldn't that be awkward? One day you walk out an office and you wear your headscarf and then everyone just knows, oh, she got her period.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. But it's just like, it's just how it is. But then you'd also see in Saudi where dads would dress up their like tiny little girls who are like 8, 9 hijabs as well. So, not necessarily because they have their periods, but because they would rather just they be conservative from the beginning.
You know, so this is interesting because I have a girlfriend who has a daughter. And we all, you know, her and a couple of other girls, we all kind of hung out and, you know, sex came up and I said, you know, do you talk to her about it? And she said, yeah, I do. And then someone else said that, you know, she will learn like how we learned, and that's how, through friends, you know, it's how we learn. We learn through friends. So having girlfriends is also a way of learning about sex. And for a second, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's true. But when I took this and, you know, and I sat with it for a little bit, I wish I actually knew more before I had that conversation with my girlfriends first, you know? Because, again, I went to a Lebanese school in Nigeria. So, there, you know, there's a mixture of cultures, some more open, some more conservative. And, you know, some girls were, you know, there were kids dating, but I was just not comfortable dating. I was very tomboyish, and two, I was too scared of dating. And then when I went to university, I had no quote-unquote experience. They used to call me Sonali Bulshandani Never Being Kissed after the movie,
oh my,
you know. Because I was so frightened of my parents, right? And so when I got to university, yes, I had a ton of girlfriends who I learned, you know, things from, like how to use a tampon or and such. But there was so much more that they already knew that when I had to learn through them, I was a little bit embarrassed.
Oh my God, I wasn't even thinking about that, but that's true. But I'm just like, why on earth would you trust teenagers to teach your kid about sex? Because I'm like, they don't know anything. They think you get pregnant off of, like, dry humping and stuff. It's like, I wouldn't... Like, can you imagine? Like, they probably still think about cooties and stuff. I remember when I was a young teen, like, we didn't have any understanding of it. And people would just kind of, like, spread a rumor or just assume something or hear, like, a wild tale and assume it's fact. So, oh my God, no. I would, like, if I had kids, I would definitely want to have, like, normal sex education with them. Which is why I think Canada wants to institute earlier sex ed, but it's a whole political thing where I think Doug Ford doesn't want to. I don't know. But yeah, no, I'm like completely against just learning from your girlfriends, because I'm like, I don't know what kind of people hang around my kids. You know, there's always a variety. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of all like the stupid shit we would say to each other as kids, and I'd be like, that's not something I'd want.
But even in my late teens, I remember with my girlfriends, this is, you know, after high school, before university, that, you know, that little gap that you have, and we would go out and stuff. They were a lot more advanced than I was.
Yeah.
So they would encourage me to do things,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I was strong enough, or I was, I guess, scared enough
mm-hmm.
of my parents to not do it.
Yeah.
You know, my fear would be for those that want to cave because they want to fit in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I remember the funny thing is actually the first time I actually had sex was
mm-hmm.
not, I was not forced into it or any such thing, but I had sex because I was fearful of the relationship ending.
Right. Yes, I get it.
You know, and that was when I actually think about the moment, it was almost like, if I don't have sex,
mm-hmm.
this is going to end our relationship.
Yeah. And it's so shitty that makes me feel so sad, because I feel like women have to internalize this shame forever, where it's like they're like either putting out too much or not putting out enough, and that's always the deal breaker. When in fact it's like sexuality is a spectrum, and there's like many people who do or don't. And the sad thing is, I don't think a lot of people experience fully healthy relationships until they have to go through like shitty experiences to know what's right or wrong for them. But like, I totally get it.
Right?
Like subconsciously, I think we absorb like these really shitty experiences. Like I told you about the date I had last week, where this guy pretty much was just assumed, not even assumed, he felt, I think, entitled to me wanting, he felt entitled that I should like sleep with him on the first date, and I was like, no. And he got angry. But then you would think, if my friend told me that, I would say, well, screw that guy, how dare he be angry at you, you should tell him to like shove it. But no, in the moment I was like, I was made to feel like there was something wrong with me, and then I had to like almost justify to him why I didn't want to sleep with him on the first date. It was the weirdest feeling. So it just, yeah, infuriates me, where it's like, it's always like the woman's fault, whether she's doing it too much or too little or whatever. It's not the dude's fault. Maybe you should rein your penis in, buddy, because it's not always the vagina that's the deciding factor. It just drives me crazy.
So you were in this world, well, I wasn't, you know, I'm married, I've been married for, wow, how long have I been married for?
Oh,
2.5 years. And before that I was dating, you know, my husband for 6 years. So, and I've just been this person that's, you know, I am this one man kind of person. And before that, I never did dating apps. I think there were, I'm not sure, about eight years ago, there must have been.
Yeah, but nowhere near as common today.
Right, you know, so I've never jumped on dating apps. What is that like in terms of going out right now, putting yourself out there? Because,
oh my God.
Isn't everything, and correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of it, not everything, maybe isn't a lot of it about just sex?
Yep, it's a total shit show. It's like a fun house of fuckery. Like, it's not fun. I'm off the apps for now after that shitty experience last week. But, okay, it kind of depends on which app you're on. But, like, Tinder, for instance, definitely the most, I think, commonly used app that's kind of known for casual hookup experiences. Not to say that people don't end up with their boyfriends or girlfriends who are there, because I do know some that do. But largely, I would say it is a casual hookup app. And then obviously the way it's built is that it's purely based on like superficial. It's like you just keep swiping and you get used to judging someone within like a split second of whether you think they're attractive or not, and you just swipe right or left. So you do almost, yeah, right is yes, and of course left is no. Oh, and then up is a super like.
Oh, wow.
I know. There's so many
so
ways.
So does that compel, does that make you, do these apps make you feel like you have to have sex with these people?
I think it desensitizes you to them as humans. And I think it's the same way in reverse as well. So that when you do match, they're pretty much, some guys are, I think a lot of them are pretty much to the point where they're like, what are you looking for? And you tell them, like, oh, I'm trying to make a connection. And then they'll pretty much say, okay, well, I'm just looking for some fun. And so
it's honest.
Yeah.
At least it's honest.
I would say the honest ones are great. But then there's some charmers, like last time, who we started with a normal conversation, I think, about sushi. And we're talking about our favorite sushi restaurants in the city. And then it was kind of set up so that it would be a date. And we just were having a purely casual discussion. And he took it 180 into a sexual deviation, which I didn't expect, which was like, before we go to sushi, I will need to eat your ass.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. Like, did he just say that?
No, like, he literally, we were discussing all our favorite sushi restaurants, and he goes, oh, okay, but before I take you, I need to eat your ass. And then I was like, but I want to see how far he was going to take it, so I said, is this a common request when you want sushi? And he said, yeah, flaming or raw. So, disgusting. So I was like, why just my ass? He's like, you want the pussy too? I was like, I mean, since you're already down there. But anyways, I trolled him. I trolled him hard because I found it so disrespectful. Not that there's anything wrong with the casual sex, but it was just the setup, which was so douchey. That I gave him a fake address. It was like, it was a real address from the building across from mine. And then once he was at the lobby and said, where was your apartment? Oh, and he's like, please be bottomless and ready for me. I unmatched him. So I wasted some of his Uber money and time, but I don't give a fuck because I found that disrespectful as hell. And then he found me on Instagram and he's like, by the way, that thing that you did there was really rude. And he's like, you're the lowest of the low. And then I just blocked him again. Buddy, I don't care. You're so gross.
That is, okay. Wow. That would not go well with your folks finding out about that.
No,
right?
No.
So wait, are they aware of dating apps? Are they?
I think they're aware of it as a theory. And my mom's actually encouraging me to go to like the Muslim one.
Minder.
Yeah, so she's definitely encouraging it, but she truly sees it as like, you will meet someone in a public coffee place and discuss what you want in marriage, and it's nothing like, don't ever let him even hold your hand. The most he can do is like open the door for you, no physical contact. And I'm just like, this is not a business meeting. I just cannot fathom your idea of dating.
But I guess she's taken it from like, it's almost like a virtual setup,
yeah.
Like how she would have someone set up meetings with you and a guy.
Totally, but
without her being there, but this app is almost doing
it
for you.
Oh my god. Yeah, but still, it's almost like her notion of dating has regressed, because I sure as hell know when she met my dad, he wooed her with like fancy hummus plates and asked her up to the movies and all this shit.
Fancy hummus plates.
And like a real Arab man. Not flowers, not chocolate, no, it's like a fancy hummus plate. But like, yeah, I mean, not that she accepted his date because she found that scandalous. He asked her up to the movies and she's like, if you thought I'd be an easy woman, you should just ask out one of the nurses
or something, because she's a doctor. I was like, damn, mom, ruthless. That's awful.
See, my parents had an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, that was different. It was
But did they meet each other over a period of time where it was like, okay, we're going to arrange you two, but ultimately you two will have to decide yes or no.
My mom said no.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go over the story with her.
Yeah,
but I believe it was, you know, someone saw a picture of my mom and said, you know, it'd be great for my father. And they met my mom, and I believe it was within 1 month that they got married, and my mom didn't want to.
The whole time?
During that whole conversation. Mm-hmm. She was very young. She lived in Hong Kong. My dad, you know, my dad at that time was in Calcutta, India.
Mm.
And he was, I think he had moved to Nigeria recently, or was moving to Nigeria. Yeah, I think he had moved to Nigeria recently. And she just, you know, didn't think the family and her were a good fit at that time. And she said no, and then her uncle convinced her.
Oh my god. So he still convinced her. It wasn't like, we don't care what you think, you're going to do it anyway.
It was more like, your family is in a tight financial situation.
Yeah.
Your mom's unwell. you know,
you
it
need
would
to
be,
do this. Yeah.
It was almost, it was somewhere along those lines. Of, mm-hmm. It was, I call it blackmail.
Right. Exactly. Because they frame it as if you have a choice, but clearly don't
right,
really.
But we're making the decision for you. And my mom, mm-hmm. you know, she says, and a lot of people have said that she was very naive, very innocent.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was, if my parents said, you know, you should do this, then we would,
do it.
You know, she would do
baby
it. So.
Mama. But I'm assuming from their arranged marriage, and I hear this a lot, they grew to love each other, and it like, lasted the test of time.
I think they grew to love each other
yeah.
how much, as much as they could.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think there was a lot of learning, and I think, you know, it goes back, I kind of relate it to my marriage, is where I think you are constantly learning about your partner. You're always, you know, you have to have uncomfortable conversations,
mm-hmm.
right? And the culture that, you know, I grew up in, it was where the man was hot-headed and you did everything to kind of maintain.
To manage it.
Yes,
oh my
to
God,
manage
it's like
that.
Living with a child who's constantly throwing a tantrum.
Right. So you had to
ugh.
Manage that. So I don't know how easy,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we will actually bring my mom on one time.
Oh my God,
to have
so
a conversation
exciting.
About this. But from my experience, it was never really, we could never really have a conversation that was open when everyone was ready. It had
mm-hmm.
to be when my father was ready,
mm-hmm.
you know. And even at that time, we had to kind of see how much we could put out there,
mm.
you know, based on his mood.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm sure it was difficult. So I guess at that time, you can only love the person as much as they allow it.
Or the situation allows
it. Or the situation allows it, you know.
It's so weird to me because I feel a lot in our culture, I've heard it enough from like parents and my parents' friends, was they're like, an arranged marriage is better than a love marriage. Because with love marriages, you know, your like passion doesn't last forever. But obviously in my head I'm like, and what we're used to, we're like, no, love is like the foundation, but then obviously you grow together and you evolve and you respect each other. Like, I can't trust an arranged marriage because I don't know what I'm getting into. This person can give you, like, a certain perspective of themselves for the first month. And girl, from my perspective of dating Arab men, they're the fucking two-faced devil. I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
I should not stereotype.
That's terrible.
But they will portray one vision of themselves for, I don't know, like a month, and then it will crumble.
But it'll give you a really good hummus plate.
Oh my God. Bitch, I got no hummus. I got none of that good stuff. Like, at the very least.
See,
so.
But that's interesting, right? Because from my mom, I think she was too nervous to date,
mm-hmm.
like growing up in her with her family. But when I remember when I started dating, I would try to be as so. I'm the youngest of two,
mm.
and my father was a little bit more strict,
mm-hmm.
but he was a lot more strict with my sister than he was with me.
Because she was older?
She was older. And I guess I portrayed a very confident, tomboyish kind of personality.
So he wasn't worried about you.
Yeah, he always thought that she can take care of herself.
Yeah.
However, when I went to university, and I would send pictures of me and my friends, and if there were a lot of guys in the picture,
mm-hmm.
he would go to my mom and he would complain to my mom, did you see what the pictures your daughter is sending?
I like how it's only your daughter.
Right, but he would never say that to me.
Yeah.
And then my mom would come to me and be like, what'd you send your father? And then I would call my dad and be like, why are you complaining to mom? And he's like, I'm not complaining. She's just jealous. But he was too scared to break that bond
yeah.
we had. So he would vent to my mom and my mom would come to me and I would take it back to him,
mm-hmm.
which is, it was actually quite funny. So when I started dating, I wanted to tell my father.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to tell him because I wanted him to, I didn't want to lie to him,
oh
you know.
My God.
At that time, I was close enough where we used to, you know, we used to talk about everything. He was living, an international student university life through his kids.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted to know what life was like. He would email me, you know, 3-4 times a week. We would go back and forth, and he wanted to hear my experiences, which was actually very nice.
Like your dating experiences?
Just my university experience. So
okay.
when I started dating, I don't think, I never told him about the first guy I started dating. Also because he was a black guy and I think they would freak out. Yeah, it's so weird. Isn't that so weird?
It's just ingrained racism, honestly.
Right? Meanwhile, I'm born and brought up in Nigeria and
yeah.
my dad knew I loved quote unquote, you know, black people or
mm-hmm.
African people. But I guess I was too nervous to say something.
Mm-hmm.
But when my second boyfriend was a white guy, was a white Canadian guy, and I think at this time, by this time I was just like, fuck it, I'm tired of lying to you, you know? Like, I
gotta live my life.
Yeah, I wanna tell you. So I told my dad, I was just like, I have a boyfriend. He's a white guy. His name is, you know,
oh
his
God.
Name is Nathan. Shout out to Nathan. And my dad played it very cool, but here's what he said to me. I'm okay with you getting married to him after university. And I was just like, wait, who even said anything about getting married?
Girl,
like,
but
not.
You know why. Because to him, it's like, if you like this guy, then obviously it's for marriage only. But you're like, no, it's the university. I have a boyfriend. That's the farthest I'll look forward to. Oh my God, how did that end? Or what did
Well, I went back home that summer and the relationship with Nathan ended. But it was just funny. It was just like, oh my God. And then from thereafter, I think a couple of years later, my dad passed away. But from thereafter, every time I had a boyfriend, I did tell my mom. And I would tell her, but I remember when I started dating a guy, I was just like, I'm dating a guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is who he is, but you're not allowed to ask me any questions.
Okay, good, because I was going to say, but see, that's amazing that they would respect your boundaries, because you sure as hell know. If I told my mom I was dating, she'd be like, ex-fucking-cuse me. She'd be like, who is this man? What is his family? What is his religion? What do you guys do? Because to them, it's like, to even be alone with a man is like, just so hot on. So to even call him a boyfriend, and then she'd be like, wait, does this mean you're having sex? We don't do that. This is dishonorable. We don't do these things. Like, I couldn't even fathom that. So
I think my mom changed
in
time. I think my mom understood that, you know, if we're sending her abroad for university, there is a chance that she's going to come home with someone
See,
who's not
that
Indian.
Is a logical way of thinking, but to their eyes, they see... other families with the same upbringing, and they're Arabic Muslims, have their kids go off to the West, I would say, like, it's this grand mythical area to North America, but then come back and get married to other Arabs and Muslims. So they're like, well, then that's exactly what you guys are doing.
Right.
But it's like, no, that's not always the same situation. I can't. And the thing is, I've come to realize in my 1 year of dating experiences, because I'm hella a late bloomer, I subconsciously kept looking for Arabic Muslim men, because in my head I'm like, I'm doing this thing that I feel is subconsciously wrong, so at least if I'm doing it, I'm going to try to do it with the intention of finding somebody they would be okay with.
Right.
I've come to realize, not to generalize Arab Muslim guys, because I'm sure there's plenty great ones out there, like, you know, my brothers, for instance, are like perfectly examples of amazing, respectful Muslim men. I would hope so, at least. So we know that they exist out there, and I have friends who are like that, but from my dating experiences, they all shit. So so I need to diversify it. I go to therapy, and she's like, I think you're subconsciously just choosing these guys because you think you're kind of seeking your parents' approval. And so to me, I'm just like, I need to kind of get out of that box and, like, meet other people.
Right.
Not within my very narrow view of what's okay or not, according to my parents' view. And then just see if maybe I find someone I click with who isn't necessarily Arabic or Muslim. But that's TBD. I'm off all the apps now, though, because I've been so traumatized by the butt muncher and all these other guys.
I also think with my case is I pushed as much as I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tried to see what I could get away with every single time. And I've had conversations with my mom where they've been super uncomfortable, you know, very awkward. And sometimes just telling her, like, you know, this is what kids are doing this, but they're lying to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to lie to you? Because if that's what you want, then I will lie to you, you know. But that's not the relationship I want to build, you know. But I mean, I guess I've always just pushed as much
mm-hmm.
as I could. Again, I know it's not easy. I mean, I got married, and I got married to a Pakistani Muslim, and I didn't think my family would accept that
mm-hmm.
for the longest time, right?
But I think you were also fortunate enough to be in a situation where you earned your own money, lived on your own, was in a different country, so, like, they could want you to be a certain way, but you were self-sufficient and resourceful on your own to just be like, no, this is my life, and this is my situation,
And they could take it or leave it. I'm projecting, so
no, you're right. But I'll also say, I'm going to add to that. All of that is true, but the biggest one is, and I hate to say this, the reason I could also do it the way I did it was because my dad wasn't there.
Because you think if he was, maybe you would have had other...
Ooh, girl, I would have been screwed. I would have been screwed.
Dude.
I would have... I remember I dated a Muslim guy briefly, and he did everything to try and keep that relationship work. And I was just like, my dad's going to break a plate on your head, boy. Like, are you kidding me?
Do you feel like you subconsciously didn't have that relationship work out because you knew your dad wasn't going to accept it? Or
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
See?
But the thing is, I don't think just compatibility-wise with that person that we would have been able, the relationship would have gone any further than it did. But yes, deep down, I was so scared of my dad. And my mom says it too. She'll be like, you only did what you did because it was just me. Like, I'm kind of like a pushover, you know, and I'm a lot more understanding what she is. But girl, if had my dad been alive today, I would have not got married the way I got married, like walking into court. No, my dad would have flown down to Canada and shot me in the head. Like, he seriously, like...
My dad has a saying where he's like, I'll kill myself and then I'll kill you. I'm like, okay, Dad, do that in exactly that order. I love him so much, but it's just like they have good intentions, but they're working from a very narrow view of what's acceptable, and sadly, I'm just not gonna fit that perfectly square peg hole in that peg, whatever you say. I can't. So yeah, I'm just kind of at a loss at how to operate as a woman, because it's like, do I do what I want to do, and what do I want to do? Because I'm so subconsciously like influenced by them and their what they want from me that I don't even know at this point.
I get that. You see, again, you know, you're here, your parents come over here, they, you know, they live in Canada for a few months, so they're still a big part of your life. When I moved here, I didn't have anybody in terms of family, you know. They didn't know when I was coming home, if I was coming home, who was at my place, who was not at my place. I mean, I didn't do anything scandalous, but I had that freedom. I could be invisible, you know? And they would only know what I told them.
Yeah.
Right?
But see, that's what control is. It's you having agency over your body and your actions. And it's just like, when I don't have that opportunity, I almost like self-censor myself. Because I'm like, I don't want to deal with the emotional trauma of having to be reliant on them, but then be like, I am going against your beliefs or what you want from me. So until I get to the point where I'm self-sufficient and living on my own, which is a whole other thing, because it's like, I can technically do it, but they also don't believe I should live without them until I'm married, but it's a whole other thing. Then I feel like I'm not able to, you know, be my independent woman self without disappointing them in some way. I almost feel like I owe them to not break their hearts if they're still supporting me in some way, which is why I'm working on my come to Jesus moment. Not actually, I'm not going to be a Christian, but you know what I mean. I'm just like gonna spend...
I think they would just say you're so haram at that point.
We're done.
Right. So okay. So that's so interesting, right? Because so your dating life is subconsciously based around how your parents are going to feel about this guy.
Oh my god, how messed up is that? I'm thinking of my parents when I'm with dudes.
So, is sex hard with these guys?
Oh, no, I'm like a total hoe. I'm kidding, I'm not a hoe, but it's like, I have no problem. I have no problem, you know, doing the deed without having any kind of weird Muslim girl guilt. It's just that the choice of man, I think, is where their influence comes in. But once I'm, like, comfortable enough with a dude and I want to, you know, go the full mile, I do it. And that doesn't bother me. Like, I actually enjoy it. But it's like I have my own hang-ups from that regard, but it's more, like, body image shit.
Right.
But, yeah, no. When it comes to that, I'm like, hey, I'm enjoying myself. I told you I went to all these, like, sex workshops last summer to the point that all the facilitators knew me. And they're like, it's your sexual awakening summer. And I went to like a blowjob class, I went to a kink class. I know, like, I'm a dictionary for sex acts. So no, That part, I'm totally free with, because I'm like, I think it's because I'm 100% like, no, these things are normal, and there's nothing I'm going to be ashamed of. Not like I'm going to announce it to my parents, but I don't find that those acts or anything sexual like that to be wrong or dishonorable, or I don't know what the word for it is. But it's, for some reason, the choice of men that throws me for a loop, where I'm like, if I'm doing all these things, but it's with a dude they like or they accept, then it's okay. But I can't, I've yet to date a white guy. But that's because I just, like, don't like them. But you know what I mean? Like,
what? That's racism.
No, you can't be racist.
See, it carries over. It's just part of us sometimes. It's so sad.
I just feel like they're not woke. I need them to be woke. And I've yet
what
to
does
find
that even mean?
A woke white guy is a guy who is knowledgeable of other cultures but his own, other than his own. And is open to, like, listening to women's experiences and people of color's experiences without trying to project his own onto them.
But wouldn't that be the case, though? Because they're so, when I say they, I don't even know how to say this without mm-hmm. sounding like I'm being racist, mm-hmm. you know? But
can't be racist against white people, I'm just saying, but.
But I feel like I've encountered a lot of, you know,
woke white dudes.
Yes.
Girl, hook a bitch up. Oh my God. I'm ready. Because I've yet to find that.
I love it. Okay, so our goal over here clearly is to get Karam.
Yeah, a man.
A man.
Get
okay.
me a man, please.
I love it. That her parents will approve of.
No, that's where we're trying to move away from. I keep getting screwed over by those guys.
This was so much fun.
Oh my God. It was great.
So we're just going to, you know, we're going to have some guests come in. We're going to talk about how we want to talk about sex education to our future generation and how do we want to do it differently. You know, marriage in our culture, what that's like, generation sex. So I'm hoping we can get my mom, you know, maybe through phone conversation to talk about what it was like for her so we can go through all three generations, right?
Yeah, and I think at the same time it's therapeutic talking about this because it's not like a typically structured talk where it's like a one story or like I'm sorry, I'm so murder podcasty, all I think about are true crime podcasts, but it's not like we're telling one story and it progresses in a natural way. It's more like these are topics and the only thing we can do is talk about our own experiences and the people we bring on to tell their own experiences. And we're just kind of, like, finding ourselves as we go along.
Right.
And just seeing what's right for us and the people we love and, you know, learning from other people that maybe isn't, like, the dominant, mainstream, normal woman and her dating experiences. So
yeah, I need to talk to you about these dating seminars or sex
seminars. I'm ready. I'll get you a discount.
God, all right. Karam 10 for
yes.
your sex code discount class. Oh my God, I love it. All right. Well, thanks for chatting and sharing your name. I actually think that is very brave of you.
I'm super brave right now.
So brave.
Yeah.
And we will tune in next week.
Next week.
Ciao, ciao.
Bye.